there's this great program that they've run in Cleveland, whereby they were able to ask the community and the church to come together in an effort. And that effort was to invite men and women who were on fugitive status to come into the church, to surrender to a man of God in his house. And what that meant was that you didn't have law enforcement officers going out, knocking on people's doors. You didn't have people running and chasing. You had people of their own volition coming in. And the one constant was the church, safe refuge. So when Marshall Conboy brought that to us, we decided as a group that we wanted to do that. And on November the 1st and the 3rd, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to invite citizens of the District of Columbia, those individuals who have outstanding warrants for nonviolent felony, misdemeanor, traffic offenses, to turn themselves in. Not to the police station, not to Superior Court, not to my office, but right here, in this church, in this building, in this place of God. And we're hoping that if they do that, they will get a second chance at life. It's the first step towards a new beginning and a second chance. We've come together as a community, and one of the things that we wanted to do was to reach out. And so I'm going to ask at this time if Tim Barnes can play for you a public service announcement that the church has undertaken in support of this effort with us. And then I'm going to invite Apostle James Silver, the pastor of Bible Way, to come forward.
Are you running from the law? If so, you will soon have an opportunity to start anew. I'm Apostle James Silver of the Bible Way Church, and from November the 1st through the 3rd, we will open our church to nonviolent offenders. Surrender in safety at our church. Talk to a lawyer and judge, and you will receive favorable consideration for your surrender. For more information, you may call 202-585-SAFE.
Let me introduce to you Apostle James Silver. Apostle.
Thank you very much. Praise the Lord, everybody, everywhere. I'm so happy to be here today to greet you in the name of the Lord. All of you who are assembled on this great occasion today, we thank God for the opportunity to be able to host FSS Fugitive Safe Surrender. To those of you who don't know me, I am Apostle James Silver, the pastor of the church. I'm proud to have been pastor here, being pastor here 16 years. I've been in this church 50 years. So we're grateful to the Lord for what he is doing. Now my task today is to tell you why we accepted this challenge. Brother Lavelle Jenkins came to my office one day and he told me about it. I don't think I had previously heard about it. And right away as he finished talking, the Lord said to me, go for the goal. This is a great event here in Bible Way, and we are happy to host it in the name of the Lord. Now, Bible Way is people helping people. And one person who was going to climb a mountain was asked why. And they said, because it's there. And we've accepted this challenge because this is a part of Bible Way ministry. And many of you perhaps don't know it, so I'll apprise you of the fact that we have been involved for many years now in prison and drug ministry. We have people in our congregation who have been delivered from drugs as a result of our ministry. And we at Bible Way, this is not an in-house thing. We go from here out into the various areas of the community to help people who are in distress and whatever distress they are in. Now, our ministry here, by the way, in regard to prison ministry, goes beyond the boundaries of, by the way, the District of Columbia, Maryland. We go to Ohio, all around down North Carolina, and different places and the institutions in the nearby areas of the district. to provide that degree of spiritual support to those persons who are in need. So we invite you to come to Bible Way, whoever you are, wherever you are. If you have a warrant against you in the District of Columbia, we want to provide the facilities here at Bible Way for you to come and voluntarily turn yourself in. And we will have people here from our assembly who will be able to pray for you. And not only that, but after this is over, we will be able to minister to you and help you any way we can. Now, the late Bishop Smallwood Williams left on record a great legacy of community helps and helps me in various areas of life. So he's gone on to be with the Lord, and here we are. We've picked up the banner, and we're moving forward with great dispatch, trying to help people in our community in the outlying areas, in whatever area of life they find themselves. Now, you need to understand that you can come in here, walk freely in, and present yourself to the judges. You'll be able to talk with judges and with the attorneys, and we will be here as a community effort to help you and to give you great comfort. Now, you can come in to our facility anytime in November, the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, from 9 until 5, and we will be here to greet you. We will provide facilities that will make you comfortable while you're waiting for your name to be called. So as we go forward with this program, amen, we are happy that we are able to host it in terms of space that we have. And we are happy to provide the space, and we're happy to host it in terms of what the ongoing commitment for the church will be. We'll be able to reach out into the communities after this is over, and we can go into the homes and we can pray for people, and we can tell people that serving the Lord will pay off after a while. Now, I think my time is just about up, but I'm happy to have had this opportunity, and I'm grateful to the Lord that as Pastor Bible Way that we could host this great event. Now, let me give you a phone number that will help you. The phone number is 202-585-SAFE or 202-585-7233, and you will get all the information you need. So I'll be around here every day keeping my eyes on you when you come in. And we'll have people here who will pray for you even before you go in, that your case may be heard. In the name of the Lord, again, I am Pastor of Bible Way Church. Let me give you our address. We're at 1100 New Jersey Avenue, and we're right in the heart of the nation's capital with the welfare of you and yours in our hearts. God bless you. I bid you peace.
Thank you, Apostle. At this time, it's my pleasure to bring forth and ask to come to the lectern Steve Conboy, who's the United States Marshal here in the District of Columbia for Superior Court. Steve is the individual that brought this initiative to us and has been a true partner ever since of the word. He's worked very hard. This is his baby. Marshal Conboy, please come forward.
Thank you, Paul.
Good morning, and thank you for welcoming us here today. The message truly comes in many different forms, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, Apostle Silver, for welcoming us here. As Paul had mentioned, I took it to a trusted source. Both Paul and Nancy Ware are partners on the Criminal Justice Coordinating Committee, and they welcome this fully. And I know that we have a lot of thanks to Lavelle Jenkins for bringing that to you, Apostle Silver. I appreciate that. The genesis for this program was the result of really three people, a reverend, a prosecutor, and a police officer in Cleveland, Ohio. And since that time, we have taken that to over six cities. More than 6,000 offenders have voluntarily turned themselves in. We've been in Cleveland, Phoenix, Indiana, Indianapolis, Akron, Nashville, and Memphis. We're very much looking forward to this operation here. This is a way to extend the olive branch to foster trust in the community and ask folks to do the right thing. Come on in. It doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be dangerous. The partnerships that exist here, the work that has gone into this, this has been a two-year journey. And the amount of work that has gone on behind the scenes has been truly incredible. And it would not be possible if it were not for the work of this gentleman seated right beside me, Paul Quander. Apostle, you've been anointed to take care of your flock, your community, and Paul has been appointed by the president to tend to this community. And I know the hard work that he delivers these programs day in and day out here. So you have caring people here, and I especially want to thank the Honorable Chief Judge Rufus G. King III. He has been fully supportive of this program. All the partners at the table had to agree to this before we got this far. This has been a consortium of a very unified effort. I would like to pay particular attention to the soldiers behind the scenes that have really toiled day in and day out, and they're not the people seated up here right now. If I could have just for a moment, please, if you would come up and join me here, Teresa Howie, Cliff Keenan, Mike Kanu, Dan Sapulo, Quincy Booth, Beverly Hill, Len Sipes, Tim Barnes, and Lavelle, would you please join us as well, too? These are the men and women that have poured hundreds of hours behind the scenes planning this. This has been quite a journey, as I've been fond of saying from day one, this ain't Cleveland. And this has been different in every city that we've attended. It has taken a lot of work to get to this point, and we're very, very excited to put this operation on. If I could ask Nancy where the director of the CJCC to join me up here, please, and our other partner on the CJCC, Mr. Devon Brown. We simply could not do this without everyone that you see assembled up here, but more importantly is that we could not do this without you. We are asking you to take that message out to the community and ask your brothers and sisters out here to please, here's a chance to come in and get this thing, this thing that is behind you, is come in here and peacefully resolve this issue. And again, I would very much like to appreciate your opening up your doors here, Apostle. And Paul, thank you very much. Without Paul's leadership here, you would not see the fruits of the efforts coming to place here, especially with this staff. It's been absolutely great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marshall. There's an old African proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child.
Yeah.
And when you have an initiative like this, it takes more than just one agency. As Marshall indicated, a number of agencies came together. There's approximately 20,000 square feet of space in this church that we're going to use on November the 1st through the 3rd. And we want to use every bit of that space, and we want to invite every person that has that outstanding warrant, that nonviolent warrant, to turn themselves in. But to make this work, it's been a journey of partners, from the United States Marshal Service to the U.S. Attorney's Office, the Office of the Attorney General, the Public Defender Service, the Superior Court of the District of Columbia, the Metropolitan Police Department, the Department of Corrections, the Pretrial Services Agency, the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency, and the United States Parole Commission. It's my pleasure at this time to ask one of our partners, I like to refer to him as the big partner because he's the chief judge, and I've had the opportunity to appear before the chief judge as a practicing attorney. But Chief Judge Rufus King, would you please join us at the lectern?
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. I didn't take that last comment to indicate you were surrendering.
No, not yet.
This is a very special occasion, and I, too, want to join in the deep gratitude that all of us at the Criminal Justice Coordinating Council have for Apostle James Silver's generosity and hospitality in making this possible by offering these great facilities in the community to bring this to fruition. I also would like to thank Steve Conboy, who really was the spark plug that got this all started, and he's followed through with the initiative to bring everybody together and keep people going. And of course, it could not have gone anywhere without the exemplary leadership that Paul Quander has shown in not only reaching out to all of the people who have to be involved in this effort, but also leading both by cajoling and by example. He's put in just countless hours, as have those who you were introduced to just a moment ago. From the court's perspective, we're really the, although we are the one of the heavy partners in the criminal justice system in the city, we are the light partner in this, because we're simply providing the judges who will hear the cases when they come in. And what's really different about this is that it's being done in the community, where the level of mistrust and suspicion among those who we are hoping to reach out to can maybe be dropped down a little bit. Maybe they can begin to trust that not all persons in authority are always wrong. Maybe there's a way they can reconcile with the community. You know, there's a bumper sticker that always caught my attention that says, if you want peace, work for justice. And what the courts do is to provide the fair and effective administration of justice in the hope that that will provide a peaceful forum for resolving disputes in the community, and so get us to a place where there's more peace in the community. This is a splendid opportunity for that to occur, for people who have been at odds with the community to come in and deal with something that has been difficult for them, that has been difficult for us because they've been out of step, they've been invisible to us, and this is a chance to start on the road to fixing that in an environment where there will be more trust, more chance of really coming together with the community and with the church when, in whatever form that may take. So I want to thank everyone involved for the huge amount of effort that's been involved, and just say that we are looking forward to the opportunity to conduct our business here in the community to take care of the cases involving nonviolent offenders who want to come in. This is not an amnesty program. This is real. It will be real justice that gets administered here, but there is always, and will be here especially, favorable consideration given to the fact that the person has come in and made the first step to say, I'm here, I want to deal with this. We will recognize that. So thank you, and I'm looking forward to a very successful and constructive few days.
It's my pleasure now to invite another partner who's been with us from the inception, Devon Brown, who is the director of the District of Columbia Department of Corrections, to come forward.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The District of Columbia Department of Corrections is quite honored and pleased to join our criminal justice partners in the implementation of this wonderful program. But this program is not about us.
All right.
Although the leaders of the program are here before you today, we all know that this program is about you, our community. Justice is best served when people of the community join with the government to ensure that fairness is rendered. And so it has been with that recognition that we came together to implement this program. I want to thank the pastor of this wonderful, wonderful place, a place of long history and deep respect in our community and throughout this great nation. Pastor Silver, your house, like all houses of worship, is a place of deliverance. We know that best, the role that the church has played in the advancement of civilization and the advancement of our society. We also know full well that sometimes a stumble prevents a fall, and that all of us, as part of this human society, have stumbled as we have learned to walk and run. We cry out for those that have stumbled to come forward to prevent a fall. The Department of Corrections plays a minor role in this undertaking, but yet a necessary role. We are hopeful that our services will not be necessary, that justice will reign, and that those who come in this house will see God's work as well as the work of the criminal justice system in the name of fairness. I want to thank all of you.
As Director Brown indicated, this is an effort not just amongst the law enforcement community, but the community at large. And this is an effort not only by law enforcement, but by the community at large. At this time, what I would like to do is to play a public service announcement that features a member of the community. And then I'm going to ask for that individual, Mr. Alfred Williams, to join us at the lectern.
It's kind of embarrassing to have the authorities coming, banging on your door, 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, because they have a warrant to serve, to pick up one of your sons. I'm not in this by myself. It's a lot of families going through what I'm going through right now. You know, it's running and hiding and ducking. It's not living. Turn yourself in, do the right thing. And I always use the senior because I have a junior. And this is who I'm really trying to call out to. Yeah, we worry. It's a constantly worry. You worry and you try to hide it. But when you're sleeping, it's in the back part of your mind. I love my sons to death. That's all I have. My sons and my wife, that's my family. We all make mistakes. Correct your mistakes. And when you make it right, you feel better about yourself.
This is a human call, and this is personal. And it's not about numbers, it's about lives. At this time, I would like to invite Mr. Alfred Williams down. Mr. Williams?
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's kind of tough
through this for a long while. I have three sons involved. I got two half straight hair. My oldest son, they just picked him up last week, so I don't have to worry about him or warrant or anything on him. They have him there, so I'm hoping he get the help that he need because he have a serious drug problem. This crack cocaine is vicious, not let alone this dipper these young people are using, making them act like they act. But I think this treatment thing is the best thing, because I know for a fact the doors were shut in my son's face when they try to do straight to want to get a job. But because of the records, doors shut. So I think this program could help them with their addiction, and they're pretty smart guys, so shouldn't be no problem about them with the training to get a job and turn their life around. And I don't like to say to be a productive citizen. I would say do the right thing and help your family and yourself by being something positive in your children, your mother, your fathers, your cousins, your families, like, because little kids watch what you do. And I think that's why I have to watch what I do. I don't want to tell my sons, don't you do this, if they see their father do it. So to say this, to say that, I think I've been pretty good, maybe not the best, but I've been more of a positive role model to my sons than a negative one. And like I say, I'm not a rich man. And that's all I have is my sons. I have old sons, no daughters, got granddaughters. But and my oldest son is really the one I really look to try to be a little better than what he is, because he's my junior. He's my first. And I expect a little more out of him than I do the others. And I just hope that this 8 to 12 months, whatever he is, that he get the drug treatment and the spiritual guidance that he need in this program. Maybe I'll have a new guy, new dude come out of them block when he come out of the cell. And looking forward to this program to try to do, and I encourage anybody listening and listen to the commercial, turn yourself in and do it now and get your life in a positive manner. And I thank everybody.
As Mr. Williams indicated, substance abuse and employment are two major issues, excuse me, that factor in to the lives of the individuals that we deal with. This program, November 1st through the 3rd, will have present in the church here representatives from APRA, which is the District of Columbia's drug treatment program. They will be on board here, physically located throughout. Also during the surrender period, the Department of Employment Services will be present here. Either they'll have their van out front or they'll be downstairs in the basement with us, so that people who are turning themselves in can have access to these services right here and to sign up for the services. At this time, I'm going to invite Keith Campbell to come forward. You've heard from the law enforcement officials. You've heard from the father of an individual who was out on warrant status. Now we want to speak directly to individuals who have been there, who know what it's like to have to look over their shoulder day in and day out.
I think the volume up a little bit.
Okay. I'm going to ask Keith Campbell to come forward, who's an individual who knows what it's like to turn and look over their shoulders because there's an outstanding warrant for them. Mr. Campbell?
Morning.
Good morning.
Is this on? Yes, I was a fugitive, and as Mr. Kwanzaa said, there's nothing worse than, you know, having to look over your shoulder everywhere you go. You know, you can't get a job. You can't do anything productive. Nothing whatsoever. And, you know, the really crazy thing about it is that you're still in the community, And, you know, there are police all around you anyway, so, you know, you're just ducking and, you know, dodging all the time. And I think that, you know, say for 70% of us offenders, the two major issues are substance abuse and, you know, the just the core belief that I'm not going to turn myself in. So, I mean, I was sitting here listening to the pastor, and I was thinking, what better mediator for me to turn myself in at the church? You know what I mean? Back to the first point, two things usually happen. Well, I know I've seen it time and time again. When guys stay out, when pugilists stay out, number one, you either get tired, or number two, you either get desperate. And when you get tired, you know, I got tired, you turn yourself in more than likely. But when you get desperate, then you put, you know, your community, the family, the law enforcement, everybody's at risk once the felon gets desperate. So, I mean, this is a good place. I was sitting in the back, and I saw the ladies of the church coming in, and I was almost comparing this, turning myself into my grandma, you know what I mean, sitting here in the church. So, I mean, can't beat it. Thank you.
Like Mr. Campbell, I would like to now invite Lawrence Burley to come forward and to talk about this program and what it means and what his experience has been. Mr. Burley?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just thank the Creator for allowing me to be here this morning and maybe give something back to the community that maybe give something back to the community that that I kind of took a lot from. Involvement with the criminal justice system goes back to when I was maybe 14 years old, and I don't remember being not being under some kind of supervision. And I'm 54 years old now. Came on parole in 2004, and that kind of pretty much tells you somewhat about, you know, the warrant issue. Living a life on the lamb, as we call it, in the street, you know, it's not a pretty thing, because you can't really move on with the life, and even if you do, I mean, it's not a matter of if, it's when, you're gonna have to, you know, pay to the piper, you know, it's just that simple. And can you imagine, you know, just, you know, doing some things and getting your life back on track if that happens for you. And then just one day you have to be uprooted from the job and stuff like that. If you're allowed for these things to happen for you or while you're out there. I know it could never happen for me, because as most people can attest to that spoken this morning, that my substance abuse issues had a whole lot to do with my involvement with the criminal justice system. And when I was out there, it kind of magnified tenfold, you know, so I would always be in awe of not doing what I needed to do. And then when I went in subsequently, I never addressed my substance abuse issues. I could be abstinent while I was in prison, but I never did anything other than be abstinent. So when I came back out in the community subsequently, I did the same thing over again. And once I got involved and back into that kind of behavior again, you know, the same process started to take place again. So I would encourage anybody that, you know, that has more today, that, you know, and then a lot of times, and then a lot of times it will escalate some things that might not have occurred if, you know, this program might have been in place when I was, you know, doing my, you know, with my petty, I guess my petty crimes, because my criminal life, I kind of escalated while I was out there, you know, from petty crimes to more violent crimes and stuff like that, things that might not have been involved in, you know, had I been able to come in and surrender at an early age and have some of these issues of mine addressed. So I would encourage anybody, you know, to, I mean, you know, it's the only problem you have to do it once, you know, come in and make an attempt, at least make an attempt to try to change your life around. Because it's not anybody on this panel's fault about the way my life turned out to be. It was bad choices, decisions that I made at a very early age, you know. So, you know, I don't want to blame anybody. And as a matter of fact, these people should be commended, I mean, you know, for what they're doing and their efforts to bring in everybody that's involved, including myself, to help the community out and get some of these people back on track with their lives. Thank you.
Thank you.
We've had an opportunity to show you two of the public service announcements that were prepared for television. At this time now, and I would like to play for you two PSAs that we have prepared for radio. And at the conclusion of the broadcast of these PSAs, we're going to open up the floor for questions for members of the panel up front, the other individuals who have spoken from the community as well.
Do you know someone wanted for a nonviolent felony or misdemeanor and looking for a way out?
My son's been hiding for months. We want him to turn himself in, but he's too scared.
Well, now there's an opportunity for him to turn his life around.
Sounds too good to be true.
There's a 3-day program in D.C. called Fugitive Safe Surrender that will allow nonviolent felons and those wanted for misdemeanors to voluntarily surrender to the law in a faith-based neutral setting.
You mean he can turn himself in? At a church.
It's a safe place where he'll be treated fairly and receive favorable consideration. This program will be held at the Bible Way Church, 1100 New Jersey Avenue Northwest, November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, between 9 and 5. Call 202-585-SAFE or visit dcsafesurrender.org.
My son just wants to start over.
Then he needs to do the right thing right now. It's the first step towards a second chance. Brought to you by the D.C. Justice System and this station. If you are wanted for a nonviolent felony or misdemeanor, there's a 3-day program in D.C. that will allow you to voluntarily surrender to the law in a safe place where you'll be treated fairly and receive favorable consideration. Just go to the Bible Way Church, 1100 New Jersey Avenue Northwest, November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, between 9 and 5. For more information, call 202-585-SAFE or visit dcsafesurrender.org. Do the right thing, right now. Brought to you by the D.C. Justice System and this station.
Do the right thing right now. We would like to take any questions that you may have, either for Superior Court, the law enforcement partners, or members of the community that are assisting us with this initiative. The question was, what crimes are we accepting individuals and which offenses are we not? The hallmark of this program are for nonviolent offenses. They could be felony offenses that are nonviolent, misdemeanor offenses, and traffic offenses. We have put together a complete list of violent offenses at our website, which is at dcsafesurrender.org, under the frequently asked questions. And by statute, those offenses are identified. So if I can direct your attention to that website, it will have the listing of the violent offenses that will not be a part of the main initiative. But what we have found in Cleveland and in other jurisdictions, that individuals, even that have these non-qualifying offenses, they turn themselves in because they are tired of these of the weight. The other thing is that they still will be given favorable consideration for turning themselves in. But this is targeted for that nonviolent offender, because most of the individuals that will come in that fit that qualification will walk out the same day with either their case resolved or a new trial date or a new probation date. So it's a way to get started again. But we want to welcome everyone that has an outstanding warrant into the church to turn themselves in. I believe the question is this just for the district? Yes. It is only for those individuals that have outstanding warrants that were issued from the Superior Court of the District of Columbia or the U.S. Parole Commission. So those individuals who are on probation or parole can participate. But individuals who have outstanding warrants from our neighboring jurisdictions, Prince George's and Fairfax, no. This is unique for warrants that are issued out of the District of Columbia. I think I got the essence of the question. The question was whether or not this initiative is for the entire District of Columbia or essentially Ward 6. This is an effort for the entire citizenry of the District of Columbia. We are making an effort to reach out to everyone in the district, all of the wards, every quadrant of the city. This is the central location. One of the great things about this church is not only a strong heritage and commitment to the community, but it's a great location right at New York and New Jersey Avenue. So we're hoping to get everyone in, and we've reached out to all quadrants of the city to invite people wherever they are in the city to come and to participate on November 1st through the 3rd right here at Bible Way. This is the only site for those days only. Yes.
What happens after the first, second, and third? If someone wants to steal, surrender, and say they come to the highway, what do we do?
What has to be done is to direct them down to the pretrial services agency, which is located at 633 Indiana Avenue. That is the location where people ordinarily, everyday people sometimes will turn themselves in. And they use the services of one of our partner agencies, pretrial services, to do that. And normally what happens is a person would come in to the pretrial services agency, the agency would get the requisite information, and then the agency, members of that staff, will actually walk that person over to Superior Court and have the matter resolved. So if there's anyone that comes in after the end of the fugitive state surrender period, that they should turn themselves into the pretrial services agency. It's located 633 Indiana Avenue, Northwest.
One of the major appeals of the program is that you don't receive favorable treatment from turning yourself in. However, I noticed on one of the TV announcements that if you could receive favorable treatment, and that would be something to turn off.
One of the issues that we are working with is we don't know what's going to come in, and we don't know what history an individual has. And this is a partnership to protect the community. And so what we need to do is to get that individual in so that we can assess exactly what that person's status is. There are no guarantees. This is not an amnesty program at all. But one of the things that we have done is we are using technologies. One of the technologies that is available is a GPS, a global positioning satellite tracking system. Some individuals who may come in, the court or the United States Parole Commission, may be, you know, somewhat leery. So what we've decided to do is to make the GPS tracking systems available so that the court may say, I'm going to release you, but with this condition. And that way we know where you are, we know where we can go, we're going to set up another date. So we're trying to do things so that we can make sure that people know that this is a very good opportunity and that we're going to be as creative as we possibly can to give favorable consideration without any guarantees. Because there's no guarantee whether or not you go to court today, whether or not you're going to come out. But the thing that we will say is that you will get favorable consideration and that it will be evaluated. And if history is any testament, in the other sites in which this has taken place, more than 90% of the individuals who have come in, turned themselves in, have walked out the door at the conclusion of the day. Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What type of follow-up services and or programs does this program offer that things
As far as continuing programs, one of the things that I'm most interested in as the director of the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency is that I have a number of individuals who are on probation and parole, and I have a number of services that we can provide to those individuals if they come back into the system. We do have drug treatment, we do have education, we do have job development programs. We have a number of programs that are available if we can get people to come off of the streets and to get back into the programming. I mentioned that APRA, and which is the drug treatment program for the District of Columbia, and the Department of Employment Services will be present and participating. These agencies aren't going away. This is what they do, and they've been working with us, so they will continue to be available. As far as any federal grants and things of that nature, that's something that is beyond the scope of this initiative, but we may be able to get some information to you at a subsequent event, or you can leave me your contact information, and I can have a staff member to get back to you on the possibility of federal grants, but I'm just not prepared at this time to speak intelligently on that. Yes, please.
I was just wondering what your communications follow-up is going to be from today, because the public service announcements are brief by nature. Obviously, there's a lot of questions people will have. Are you going to be passing out flyers in areas where the message is going to get out? Are you going to be going on radio and interviews to explain more detail? How are you going to get the full message out to the community, in particular, to spread it out among those
you mentioned a couple of the areas. There is a campaign that has already been underway to provide flyers to many members of the community. For the past two Saturdays, staff members and individuals who are performing community service have been distributing flyers throughout the city. They've started at various metro stops and have moved out into the community. This past week, we concentrated on the areas in Ward 7 and 8 along Southern Avenue, Eastern Avenue, Deanwood, in that area. This week there will be another effort to get the flyers out to the community. Our goal is to have a flyer in every beauty shop and barber shop in the District of Columbia. The other thing is we will be going out, and that's why I'm thankful that a number of the radio stations are here this morning, so that we can get the message out through talk programs and public service announcements. We are looking forward to speaking with and being interviewed on these programs. Deputy Marshal Bernard Graham did an announcement on Friday, an interview. And so we're looking to do more and more of this. We're going to be very busy as we go forward. One of the concerns that I have is that we have this great party plan and no one is going to take advantage of it. And so I'm asking all of you to make sure that the word gets out, that we're going to be here, that there's a great event, and we need you to come in because we want you to take advantage of it, because we want men and women who are on warrant status, come on in, get out of the cold, because we have programs. An example. Last week, we had an individual who was wanted on a case that was, a warrant was issued in the early 1980s for the theft of something from an automobile. That individual was riding in the District of Columbia and got stopped last week. He was arrested. He had that outstanding warrant from 1980. He had that warrant. So he came in, the warrant was taken care of, and he's on with his life. So there are individuals out there who have long-standing warrants. They may have forgotten about it. We want to remind them. Come on in, take advantage of this. There will be no juveniles here. So there will be only adults that will be coming in. But it's open to everyone. And one of the good things about Bible Way, we have an elevator, so we have handicap accessibility. It is just great. The other good thing about Bible Way is we couldn't do this program just with the staff that we have. So Bible Way and some of the other churches will be sending volunteers. And that volunteer is going to be the first face that that offender sees. As one of the young men said, that when he came in and he saw some of the members of the church, it reminded him of grandma. That's what we want. We want people to have that same feeling, that same sense of comfort in doing the right thing as they come forward.
You indicated that a number of people who will come in may be released on that same day as if they were, quote, served at a time. My question to you is, what happens once they get released? I believe part of the problem with the number of people and why they're on the quote man and why they're running around, a lot of times as they go for jobs and planning and things like that, they are discriminated against. Housing, they can't get jobs, they can't afford to pay for housing. I understand that there's a re-entry program, government is basically putting legislation together for a re-entry program, but still it's in limbo. And people that are having incarcerated at a certain time, they come out. And they're stranded. There is no housing for them. There's no food. The first thing people talk is, who's your relative? Go to your relative and ask support from them. Go to your church. The church can't afford to sponsor everyone. So what do they do? Do you have services? I'm asking this to people in the Security Court. Do you have something in place for those kind of people? You indicate to second ago that if they come back to the system, hello, people don't want to come back into the system. However, if they do come back, again, there are no jobs, there's no housing, there are children to take care of, and there's no one out there to help them. What is now the pipe? What is available now? What do you have to help these individuals? In addition to the loan, there are thousands. I know Mary and Barry put together legislation on the entry. Supposedly, this legislation passed, but again, it's sitting in limbo. I contacted Lassie because this is of utmost interest to me. What do you have in place?
Very good question. The issues that you articulated are issues that we confront every day in this line of work. When you're talking about social services, when you're talking about housing, when you're talking about employment, when you're talking about job skills development, when you're talking about how does an individual make that transition, these are the issues that I deal with in my agency and the men and women that do this work do every day. I don't know if the mic went out. Can you hear me? Okay. I can speak about my agency and what we have. We are fortunate in the sense that I have some additional resources that we were able to set aside for this program. So I have some resources, and it's not unlimited. It's quite the opposite. It's very limited. But we wanted to make sure that if we had individuals who were willing to take that first step, that there could be some support for them. I have a small amount of transitional housing that is available, small amount. There aren't many agencies in the district that have that, but I have that now. Again, it's a small number. We have to continue to work on some of these problems with housing, with some of the other agencies. This program isn't designed to tackle all of those. It's a first step. But once we get the person back into the system, we can work with it. There's one thing that I can guarantee you. As long as that person stays out of warrant status, there is nothing positive that is going to happen. First step, bring them in, let's get right here, and then we can tackle some of those issues that need to be tackled. The people here know this is just more than just a one-shot program. We want to get people back in so that we can get them the services that they need. But thank you for your question. I really appreciate that. Are there any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
Washington, D.C. has a very large death community. How do you get a message out to that community? And if they, is there a program that you're airing, is it closed captioning? Also, if a deaf person who has been submitted wants to turn themselves in, do you have sign language interpreters available for them to certify?
Yes, thank you for the question. The exact same services that are available every day at Superior Court for the hearing impaired will be available here at Bible Way. Any service that is provided at Superior Court will be provided here. I didn't mention this, but the same for translation for Spanish. We have flyers that are in Spanish There are actually a radio advertisement that is in Spanish, and so there will be Spanish interpreters that will be available in the courtroom and for communication with the defense attorneys that will be available. The Public Defender Service will bring its own interpreters that will provide assistance to the Spanish-speaking public. So for the hearing impaired and Spanish and any other translative services, we're going to use the resources of the Superior Court that has been mapped out already. Thank you for your question.
Good morning.
Good morning.
When improving the success, could there be another opportunity at the same day for the defendants?
Can you just explain a little bit more? I didn't.
Let's say we had the improved success that the other states are. Will this be an ongoing thing when the improved success also until this one time?
Let me try to answer it this way. There are other cities that are scheduled to do fugitive safe surrender after Washington, D.C. Being a native Washingtonian, we want to show them the right way to do it. So we want to get as many people in as we possibly can. If this proves successful, depending on how many people we get in, what the services that we can provide, and if we're having that impact, and if the church is willing, and if God is smiling on us, I see no reason why we can't do it again. Thank you. Let me just, before we close out, say a special thanks again to the United States Marshal Service for initiating this program and bringing it here to the District of Columbia. It's a program that I think would benefit our community as a whole. I am really happy to see so many people here as well. And Apostle Civil, again, we couldn't do it without you and the church family. So thank you very much, and thank you to the Bible Way family. Thank you all very much. Have a good day, and thank you very much for coming out. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the fact that many of you, all of you rather, have come to this press conference today. The point I want to make is this. This ministry will not end on the third. The benediction will not be given because we are those persons who come in and voluntarily turn themselves in, then we will go into the spiritual aspect of their lives. And we're going to chase them down with foxes and hounds. And we're going to help them to build a spiritual base in their life. And this is why they got in trouble in the first place. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And we're going to get their names when they come in. If they want us to visit their home and prayer, they can come in our church, and we're going to begin to work with them. But another point I want to make is this. Those persons who are in trouble with drugs, they better be a major player. They're going to have to work hard because they probably didn't work that hard to get in. But they're going to work hard to get out. They're going to put forth some effort now. Their delivery completely is not going to come overnight. We don't have any magic wand process, but what we can tell people is that Jesus Christ will help them and give them a new life. You want your life turned around, you better get involved with Jesus because he's the man with the plan. Thank you.
All right. Thank you all. Thank you, Apostle.